the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet. You have shown me your love through the judgment you received, and you've won my for beauty, and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross.
If we remain quiet in the sanctuary, there is a sign on the door. Thank you. People are praying right now, so please respect honor.
Feet of mercy. night. Are there any? That's the mother's name. What is her last name? You know? I would like to place the Fayetteville Cumberland Presbyterian Church. They've had some turmoil in the past and just still trying to recover and recuperate. Morgan? What is her name? Jade? We had originally listed her as Adele Williams, but her last name is Herrera. I hope I spoke up. Stacy? Do you know their name? Miss Blockman? Bach. Are there any others? We will pray for these prayer requests later in the service. Let us begin our worship tonight with Lord Whose Love. You'll stand with me if you're able. During the season of Lent, we don't sing a lot of songs that shout hallelujah or glory. We are going to make an exception tonight with the message being about the cross and what a wonderful gift that cross has been for us. So we're not trying to be disrespectful in the season of Lent, but we're trying to celebrate this wonderful gift that we've been given.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. Every nation, a love song born of a grateful cry.
message tonight, There Should Be a Cross, will be brought to us by Sveta Yatsky. And usually we don't have someone, that, if they speak twice, to speak so close together, but Sveta had this message on her heart, and she said, I want to speak during Lent, but I want to speak early in Lent. And I said, okay.
You'll have some hard times. I really apologize. I know from my experience having lots of foreign professors in university, I understand sometimes it can be challenging to understand the person. So I asked Melanie. She's usually my personal interpreter, and she translates me if people have hard times understanding me. So if you don't understand anything like what I said or a word, to just raise your hand or speak out and ask me to repeat it again. There are many things I'm thankful to God about, like daily things. I thank God for food, I guess, for a nice place to live, for hot water. Every night when I take a shower, I'm so happy that there is hot water or just water. Because some people, they, you know, in the desert, they're not able to take showers every day. Or northern tribes, I know one nation, they take shower once a year during the summer because it's really. And I think when I think about that, I'm really thankful. You know, just simple things we have every day, and sometimes we just don't even pay attention. And there is another thing for which I'm very, very thankful. It's the book, the Bible. When we buy, purchase something, some equipment, computer, something very complicated, usually we first read what? The user's manual, right? And you will agree that the life is so much more complicated than any device you can imagine. And to use it properly, we need the user's manual, which we need to learn about using that device, right? To live the life, we're given just only one life. God gave us one life. We cannot change it. And to be able to use it properly, we need to know how to use it. And this is what is the manual for us. It's the Bible. God wanted, when He gave His life, He gave His word, so we would know how to use it. We don't want to break it, right? And when we look at the world today, we see so many people whose lives are ruined, broken. Sometimes they even cannot fix it because they didn't know how to use it. My favorite writer, I cite him all the time, is Russian writer Dostoevsky. He said that without the word of God, a nation or people perish or downfall. And Russia is an example of what happened to the nation, to the whole country, because the word of God was taken away from people. And Dostoevsky somehow predicted that. That's why I like him. He's a kind of prophet. He predicted that if you take away this book from people, they will perish. The country will be ruined. The whole mentality will be ruined. And this is what happened to Russia. And recently I read Nolan Hill's dispatch, and I saw Baptist pastor, he said that he took the book from his shelf, Russian Bible, and it reminded him about the persecutions when people could not have the Bible in their family. There was a time when if the Bible would be found in the family, the parents would be arrested and kids would be sent to the orphanage. This was the station's main idea, to take away this book from people. Because this is the only way how to use the life properly. And you know, Satan's main purpose is to ruin our lives. This book tells us how to live, how to obey God, how to make right choices. We're making so many wrong choices in our lives. We're making so many sins. Now the world is trying to take this book from us as well. They tried to say Jesus was just buried. They found Jesus' remains and he was not risen. Or they're trying to say, like, from the very beginning, was this book was attacked so many times, trying to say that this is not the truth, this is not the word of God. And when this world is saying to us, sin is not a big deal. He can sin. You can change your sexual partner. That's okay. You'll find the best one for you. But the Bible tells us all these things will find us out. There are always consequences for the sin. Anything, big or small thing. This is what the book says. So God tells us, be careful. Be careful. Don't sin because it hurts. Even if you don't realize from the very beginning. I remember a guy who was addicted to drugs for many years, and he was dying. He was found in the basement of one of the big buildings in St. Petersburg. And by miracle, he became a Christian. He got rid of this addiction. He was dying from sepsis because there was not a single part, living part in his skin, because he was using shock drugs. And he became a Christian, and God used that terrible experience to tell teenagers, especially, we were moving with that group from orphanage to orphanage, from school to school. And he would say, tell a testimony how he was dying. And at the end of his testimony, he usually would ask, do you want to see my legs? And children would say, yes. He would pull out his pants and he would see just terrible scars on his legs. 20 years passed since he got freed of this addiction. But the legs, and he said, he would tell, they still hurt. This is a reminder for me every day to follow God. All things leave scars on our soul. Sometimes the time will heal these scars, and God, through His mercy and grace, will heal these scars. And forgive us, of course, He would accept. He accepts us. He says that, I won't remember your sins. You're forgiven. But be sure, God forgets the sins. But Satan doesn't. And he will be reminding every day, every single moment, about your past sins. He will steal your peace from you. God would say, we tell you, I forgive, I forget. Satan will be reminded all the time. So, follow this book. It says, be careful, do not sin. Well, I'm thankful to this book because it saved personally me. The truth revealed here showed me the way to follow God and stay away from many wrong choices. But in the past, this book, you couldn't be finding this book easily. You know, like the very first books, they look like this. Scroll a little bit later, and this would be in the synagogue. You would have to go and read it. Or a little bit later, they would use very exclusive decorations, and it would be written so many times with leather and gilded leather, and it would be extremely expensive. And if you were not a prince or a nobleman, you wouldn't have it. You'd have to go, or all the big churches could afford to have this book, and they would have it. You'd have, if you'd like to spend some time reading the Bible, you'd have to go to the church to ask permission, or you'd have to go and and the residents of kings or queens to ask to touch this book and read it. Or, in the beginning, it was written in, of course, in original languages, you know, Greek and Hebrew. And, or then it was translated into Latin, and till the 15th century, all these books were mostly in Latin. And if you are not in Italy, or if you are not able to read, and if you are not an educated person, you wouldn't be able to read this book and understand it. Later, praise God, Luther, faithful God servant, well, God lays on his heart to translate this book to make it more accessible to people so they would understand it in their native language. I understand English. I can read the Bible in English. But it's so much more dear for me to read it in my native language, in Russian. It comes so easily for me through my own language. And praise God that there are translators. You know, there are so many nations today that they don't have the Bible translated into their own language. And there are so many translators are working. Even in Russia, there are many nationalities that don't have the word of God translated into their language. So there is so many needs in specialists and translators and workers and finances to translate this book. And by the way, today I was going to mention my roommate, ex, and Willie's former classmate and roommate. And remember last time I told you a little bit about spiritual gifts that God gives to Christians who are eager to serve God. Sometimes in the times of need, he can give spiritual gifts. Like Lisa, when she was in high school, she wanted to become a philologist, to be able to learn languages. And her teacher told her, "You don't have a talent. Don't even try to go and enter the university to become a philologist." And guess what? Lisa graduated from high school, entered Christian University. She was my roommate. Right now she's in India. She works for a weekly Bible society. And she sent an email asking to pray because she's working on her dissertation, learning the language of a tribe in India that doesn't have an alphabet. And she's developing an alphabet then to train native speakers to help to translate the Bible. She's a philologist. And her teacher said that there is no way for her to master this. God is using her, and maybe this has happened because when we get spiritual gifts, which sometimes doesn't go along with our talents, it's just for glory of God, it would be obvious. So it would be obvious that this is God, and this is his gift to serve and to proclaim God's kingdom. So this will be maybe for our prayer friends as well. She has to seek God's help and guidance in the translation of the Bible. This what we would have to do if it was not translated. Greek, an original passage from the New Testament. You know that the New Testament was written in Greek. Kai hosu lambane ton saurona su kai akaluse apisonu ukesti muaktio. This is the language in which apostles talk. Do you understand anything? Can you guess what it is? Our teacher of Greek in our university, he was an Orthodox priest, and he made us to learn the Lord's Prayer by heart in Greek. And he told us, if you repeat this prayer in the original language, you'll be saved. But he was an Orthodox, you know, they have a little bit different theology. And if I don't understand it, maybe there's mysterious things. I love the sound. I love to imagine that when I pronounce it, This is the way how it sounded from the times of apostles or Jesus. But it cannot change my life. I need to understand it. We need to understand this word. There is no benefit if it's laid on the shelf and we just dust it from time to time or open it just to look how beautiful pages are. I need to read it and understand it. Then it will change my life. And there are very important things for us written there. Like this verse. Before I open it, translated version, I have just a few questions. How many are people here among us who believe in God? How many people among us believe that this is the Word of God, the true Word of God? Every single word written here is the truth. Okay, Jesus, the last question. Jesus said, take your cross and follow me. How many people tonight can say, I took the cross to follow Jesus? Is there anybody who can raise his hand? Take the cross and follow Jesus. Can you say that you've taken the cross? Okay, let's see what Jesus says about it. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worth of me. Are we going to cry right now or a little bit later? It sounds pretty serious. Do you agree with me? He says, if you don't take your cross, you are not worth of me. So what should we do? Did you take your cross? Do you think you follow Jesus? I predicted that because I don't know if I can raise my hand either. But you know, maybe for some of us tonight, this will be a kind of rebuke, reminder to get into the Bible and just follow it. Or some of us will be encouraged. You would feel like God is telling you, good servant, keep going. There are several misbeliefs about the cross. Should we pray? Melanie, would you pray? Yeah. Let's just stop and pray for the people. Something is going on. Usually, when we think about the cross, take the cross, we think about suffering, right? Like you agree to brave suffering, to go somewhere in the world where Christianity is highly persecuted. Or some people say, like, I don't know, maybe it's a joke, but some people say, myself, my wife is my cross. I have to carry her all the time. Or my husband is my cross. I have to tolerate him all the time. Or some people would say that sickness, disease, very serious disease, that says, this is my cross. I have to bear this. I cannot get rid of this. I have to humble myself and say, well, God's will be done. This is my cross. But I believe that there is a little bit different meaning of the cross
is to
understand it better, or just to investigate, to make research. Let's look at Jesus himself, what the cross meant for him. And also, you know, I want to mention that we understand that we are talking about the figurative meaning, right? Right? Jesus is saying about take cross as figurative meaning. Because in the early Christianity, in the history of Christianity, there were people who would carry wooden crosses everywhere because they understood this word this way. You have to carry the cross, otherwise you won't be worshipped Jesus. Just to get rid of the wrong understanding, I just wanted to mention that. Let's see what this cross meant for Jesus. First of all, it was suffering, crucifixion. The cross was the death penalty for Jesus, where he had to die. It was a real burden, a terrible experience. He had to die on the cross. Second of all, cross was the revelation of God's will. Jesus came to this earth to reveal God himself. And cross became the purpose for his life. The main purpose for Jesus' life was to reveal God the Father, to show the miracles, to show himself that he is God. But the main purpose was to die on the cross, to take the sins of the whole world, of the single person, of everybody, of every single sin, big and small, and to put them on the cross, to die for our sins. This was the purpose for his life. Also, cross was the sign of Jesus' obedience. We find it in the Bible. It says that he became obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Philippians chapter 2. Shame. The cross also was a shame. He humbled himself to die on the cross. When I was making a research about the saying take this cross, and I thought maybe there was a saying in their days. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, there are some idioms which were common to that language, and they used it. And you know, apostles, they sometimes use these figurative expressions in the Bible. I thought maybe there was like the ancient Roman expression, and I decided to look what Romans had. And I found the orator, Roman, famous orator, Cicero. He even said, for Roman citizens, it's even not worthy or not appropriate to mention cross or crucifixion. For noble people, for high society, cross was something very, very bad or just neglected. Only slaves were punished or killed on the cross. And Jesus had to die on the cross to bear the shame. Like a simple slave, he had to die on the cross. And one more. Of course, cross was the sacrifice. He volunteered himself to die on the cross. He had the choice, but he agreed to go and die on the cross. And when I thought about that Jesus volunteered himself, and when he said, take anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worth of me. He's speaking about person's desire. No one is pushing that person to carry, to take cross, to take his cross. But if you want to follow Jesus, you need to take the cross. No one can make you to carry this cross or to take it. This is your personal desire, decision. I want to follow Jesus. That's why I take the cross. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So that's why I don't agree that disease or suffering, like, or sickness can be called your cross, that I carry my cross, I'm sick. Because this is what is given with a special purpose from God, like testing of your faith or something. You cannot get rid of that. You cannot put it aside. Because I think that to take cross means to volunteer to do this. Also, I don't believe that spouse can, or wife or husband can be your cross. Because when we marry people, we usually, because we are in love, we love that person. That's why we agree to marry. There is no any close to being called your cross. Or I know there were some situations in Russia during the persecutions. I know that the pastor who was in prison, he was single, he would write a letter to somewhere church and ask him if there is any sister in Christ would love who could take this challenge to marry him without knowing. And I know there were marriages like that. There would be a sister who would feel that, yeah, probably this is the Lord is calling her. And she would follow and live somewhere in Siberia in just terrible conditions. Maybe, yeah, maybe in that case, I would say that that lady, she took the cross as a ministry. She came up with a marriage idea as a service. To serve God through that. So applying to our lives, see this, a cross, six cross, crucifixion, revelation, obedience, shame, and sacrifice. How can we apply it to our lives? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We are, as Christians, are dead for sins. We dead to sin. Do you agree with that? God gave us power not to sin. I like Martin Luther's expression. He said that we cannot forbid birds fly above our heads, but we can forbid them to make a nest on our heads. This is about sin. We can be tempted. There are many temptations around. But God gave the power through the Holy Spirit not to allow this sins and these temptations to make a nest in our head. We can fight. Yeah, we can. God gave us the power. We are dead to sin if we are taking the cross. This means to be dead to sin. Oops, sorry. Susan, can we go back, please? To this slide. To this slide. Revelation. When we take Jesus' cross, we reveal to the people around that we are Christians, we are God's people. We proclaim God's will to the rest of the world. Obedience. Taking cross means to be obedient to God, to follow His commandments. Shame. Sometimes we are mocked as Christian. I remember my friends told and spread the rumor about me when I became Christian. They got mentally ill. You know, yes, and I had to bear that shame. Because Jesus said, you know, remember the verse, Mark 8:38. It's a pretty strong verse.
For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. For this world, cross is a shame. We don't participate in all this adultery and all these sinful things around. And they laugh at us. They say that, take everything from this life. Don't be losers. But if we are Christians, if you take Jesus' cross, you're not afraid to say, I don't agree. I don't think that's cool. I don't think that's right. I'm a Christian. I have the authority. I have the manual for my life, which I have to trust more. Sacrifice. And shame value God's principles more than somebody's opinion. And the last one, sacrifice. Deny yourself. This is what Jesus said. And I want to remind that, you know, there are many statements in the Bible, but some of them are repeated more than once. And usually this is a guide for us to pay special attention. This verse that we were thinking and meditating on is repeated in some versions, different versions, at least 8 times in the New Testament. So we have to pay attention to this and to think about that. Sacrifice, deny yourself. Volunteer to take the cross. No one is pushing you, but if you want to follow God, if you want to follow Jesus, there should be a cross. Only God knows the purpose for your life. Sometimes you can understand it very easily. Some people, they're looking and they're kind of in search. But there is a purpose for your life. And to grieve with this purpose, with this God's plan, also means that you're taking God's cross. You agree, you answer to His call. And when God is calling you, you answer to that call. Let's pray right now. Close our eyes and, well, the music is playing and the song is sounding. Try to think. First of all, do you follow Jesus? Is there anybody tonight here who are kind of in doubt if you have Jesus in your life? Do follow Jesus. The only one way to understand that you have faith in your heart is your deed. Have you accepted Jesus? Remember, there is no tomorrow. Like, tomorrow is an abstract concept because we cannot catch it. There is past. Yesterday is gone in the past. There is only today. Today is God asking you, have you accepted Him? Have you accepted Jesus? Do you have really Jesus in your life? Do you have Jesus in your heart? If you have, and if you follow Him, there should be a cross. If you're still in doubt, just pray. Pray and ask God to show you the faith, to give you that faith. If you want to come up here and ask Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, and you want to make the decision to follow Him, to have that cross, to have that, to be dead to sin, to fulfill God's purpose for your life, to follow His commandments, to value His principles, and to deny yourself. If you don't think that you have this in your life, God says, you're not worthy of it. These are very, very serious, and these are scary words.
Are you going in God's kingdom? While Jamie is singing, let's close our eyes and just think about serving God and carrying, taking His cross, having Him in our life.
King of love, you've called my name. You gave me life, although the shame had covered me. You took my hand, and here I stand. I'm saved by grace. Father God, you've heard the prayer from deep within. My spirit cried, if there's a God, come rescue me. Now here I stand, I'm saved by grace. I will thank you for saving my soul. For you've shown me the truth in your word. I will take up my cross and follow you. Now I live for the glory of God. Now we turn to walk away from selfishness, the pride and hate. And when we pass through stormy ground, we'll gladly walk upon our knees. So we cry out, come change us, Lord, into a church that loves your word. We will return to knowing you, with joy we walk beneath the cross. We will thank you for saving our souls. For you show